This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He wants connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm gonna dunk his ass.
They suck. So you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Good morning, welcome in. It's Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenbloom. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, do we suck?
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the sock team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
Terry
Moores!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man. Turn it off. It's sucking my will to live.
Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks. Disco sucks.
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith. Yeah, man. Sucks. Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
And a new addition to the Saturday Suckage roll call, Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
How perfect is that? Robbie Triano. Hi.
I'm sucking today.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Look at that. Mike Tomlin, as suggested by legendary sound man Chris Tannehill, who, by the way, found us the Eloy Jimenez part of this. Mike Tomlin was just perfect.
It all sucks.
Yeah.
There's not degrees of suck.
Would you trade? All right. I'm sorry. I stepped on Mike Tomlin. Let's play him again. My fault.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Would you trade Justin Fields for Mike Tomlin?
Ooh, yes, I would. He's a leader of men.
You think you'd have to throw in something else?
I think you would. I think he is Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin is Pittsburgh.
Right now, he's the coach of Pittsburgh. And there was a story like, wow, Could they be done with him? Could the Bears trade for him? Yeah. How many more bad Bears quarterbacks will the Steelers take? Welcome into Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. You know, we used to have a longer roll call. Robbie, long before you were born, we used to have a longer roll call. And it included something I wanted to bring back. It was suggested by the legendary, the former Score hero and current Saturday Suckage roll call member, Julie Swyka. And it was Avenue Q. I want to bring that back. A little musical accompaniment besides the Eagles, but it sucks to be Avenue Q, right? It sucks to be me. It sucks to be me. You familiar with that, Robbie?
I love Avenue Q. Great musical. You and I think alike.
How do you know that, by the way? How did you come to that?
For the people at home, I used to do show choir in high school. So if you know the show Glee, that was me when I was a pimply 17-year-old pubescent boy.
Wow. You were Glee.
I was Glee.
Is show choir a competitive thing? What is show choir?
Yeah, show choir is where you get on a stage. There's like you have a certain amount of numbers that you do and you sing and dance and you have these sets and props and everything. But yeah, I went to a school in Michigan called Grosse Pointe South High, if you know that. But for the people at home, we would travel across different schools, go to competitions, took about like 5 a year, and do our 20-minute set in front of a whole crowd and judges. And they would pick if we were the best show choir in that competition.
And what would you be performing?
We would do like show numbers. Like one time we did like a theatrical number of Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. Like certain like either theater songs or musical songs and some pop culture stuff that we would do. But it was fun and I tell nobody about it.
You just told everybody.
Yeah, I told everybody. Well, I saw
on the biggest stick in Chicago, the 50,000-watt WSCR, 670 AM. All right. Well,
wait, this thing's on.
I think that's great. Do you? Well, not if anybody smart can help it. So, do you have a favorite Broadway show?
My favorite of all time is Phantom of the Opera. I think it's beautiful. But if I were to pick a fun one, I love Little Shop of Horrors. That one's great.
It's good. Yeah. That works. Feed me. The mean green mother from outer space. I said, feed me. Okay. Our phone number here at Score Musical Theater is 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Scores text zone. I hope the girl from Philly calls back today. We already had a text, 815. Philly Jane, is that who that was? We need to bring her back sometime in this opening segment, right? I mean, for those of you who missed it, we'll explain it later. Because right now, I didn't know whether to start with Cliff Kingsbury interviewing with the Bears or this Sox stuff, the BSOX stuff, because there's a lot of BS to call on this thing. So we'll start with both. Most of the offensive coordinator candidates come from the like McVay, Shanahan, not Luke Getsy tree, right? Don't. If you ever said hi to Luke Getsy, we don't want you. Kingsbury comes from someplace completely different. Because you thought the Bears were headed in this way. We want this guy, we want this guy, this guy. They're all in the same species. Cliff Kingsbury's an air raid guy. Throw, throw, throw. Hey, throw, throw, throw. At least that's the reputation. That's what made Wani crazy on Parkinson Spiegel this week. Oh, I get no. Oh, you're never going to run the ball. Meanwhile, he ran the ball a lot at Arizona. And running the ball allowed his quarterbacks to become better. But he did run the ball. But the air raid stuff is secondary to where he resides. The Bears were in L.A. to interview him because he coaches at USC. He's a strategic, senior strategic analyst. everybody keeps calling him an assistant coach. He's not. I'm not sure when he's allowed to actually be on the field to do actual coaching. But he still knows Caleb Williams. Perhaps you've heard of him? Yeah. Caleb Williams is at USC, the prohibitive number one pick. And the Bears have, right now, the number one draft choice. I can just imagine the Bears picking Caleb Williams and saying, we were surprised he was still available. Anyways, moving right along. So it seems to be this is the intel gathering. We want to check out the DNA, the personality. Does this guy love football? How smart is he? What does he do? How does he react under pressure? Why did he suck at the end of last season? As everybody around here saw him just like, oh my God, he piddled down his leg against Notre Dame and everybody was making excuses. And we're used to that because everybody was making excuses for Justin Fields. By the way, if you saw what C.J. Stroud did last week with fewer weapons than Justin Fields, and if you saw what Jordan Love did last week with fewer weapons than Justin Fields, and did it in the playoffs when Justin Fields can't even find 9 wins, shut up. Stop making excuses for a guy who is not a franchise quarterback, not here. So you could ask Cliff Kingsbury, hey, what does he do well? What does Caleb Williams do well? What doesn't he do well? What does he need to work on? What kind of game plan should there be? How much should we let him have input or dictate the game plan? How is he under pressure? How does he respond? He might be the best coach to talk to, the best person to talk to. I know his high school coach was on with Parkins and Spiegel yesterday, but really that's a lifetime removed. Generations of learning and certainly a degree of difficulty since he coached in high school and needed a Hail Mary to win a state title. Something bothered me about that. If you're that dominant, should you need a Hail Mary to win a state title if you're that guy? All right, moving right along. It would seem a slam dunk that this is the precursor. I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury would get the job as offensive coordinator for the Bears, but he'd certainly be a fountain of information. But let's look at Cliff Kingsbury's history, right? Robbie, do you know who he's coached?
He coached Texas Tech. I'm familiar with that. Coach Patrick Mahomes, actually, didn't win a lot of games with him. Then he coached Arizona Cardinals. Then he got fired, and then he's somewhere in Thailand until right now.
He coached Patrick Mahomes, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, and Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray had an all-time great year for once. And you look at the right now, Patrick Mahomes is yet another one that got away from a different Bears regime. All right, we're trading up for Mitch Trubisky. We missed on Mahomes. Hi, we're trading out of the number one spot. We're clueless about C.J. Stroud. We don't see it. This is what's scary about Ryan Poles still being there and making decisions. You saw him make, he just made a Jerry Jones decision. Keeping a failing coach, keeping a bad coach, you could see the need to turn everything around, the need to open everything up. Ryan Poles just kept Eberflus. And when you get mentioned in the same sentence as Jerry Jones, keeping Mike McCarthy, you have failed, Ryan Poles. You're headed nowhere good. But given the fact that Mahomes is the gold standard for what we all wanted Justin Fields to be, however unlikely it might have been, because Mahomes is an all-timer. But let's say he's a reasonable facsimile. Because Kingsbury was there with Mahomes in college, and some of the other guys who could run around and throw and not be robotic, that's Justin Fields' word. What if Kingsbury was being interviewed to keep Justin Fields? What if Kingsbury was being asked and taken seriously by a GM? And GMs don't always think straight. You should have seen last week. I don't know if Ryan Poles did, but most sane people saw last week what the quarterback means. You saw C.J. Stroud. You saw Jordan Love. You saw the Bears don't have that and won't in Justin Fields, at least so far. But Ryan Poles loves all that draft capital stuff. Here, let's acquire, let's acquire, let's acquire. And he lamely tried to justify what he traded when passing on C.J. Stroud. He was asked specifically. You see that as a mistake now. And he, I think he was asked by Mark Potash. Mark Potash will be here at 11:45. I think he was asked by Potsy about that. But the point was, Ryan Poles said, no, look, we got number one receiver. We got number nine draft pick. We got a right tackle. We got a first pick this year, second pick next year. And the question becomes, do you think the Texans would trade for all that, would trade C.J. Stroud for all that? And the answer is no, they wouldn't. Packers certainly aren't trading Jordan Love for the package that Ryan Poles is trying to justify. But Ryan Poles likes acquiring draft capital. What if Cliff Kingsbury is being interviewed? How would you make Justin Fields play like Patrick Mahomes? It's an unfair thing. It's like asking anybody else, any pocket quarterback, how are you going to make him play like Dan Marino? Well, Dan Marino is the only one with that release, really. So good luck with that. However, you have to ask the question. If you're not sure what you're going to do, if you want to turn over every stone, as Ryan Poles said, although he did not turn over every stone to hire a coach, which is just palm to forehead stupid. But what if he's asking, maybe not just Cliff Kingsbury, but given Kingsbury's relationship to Patrick Mahomes, how do we make this guy that guy? How close can we come? What would you do? What is your game plan? What is your playbook? Thus allowing Ryan Poles to trade out of the number one spot again. Maybe not get that in an all-time quarterback draft day, get that franchise quarterback, and maybe acquire a bunch of draft capital, but with an offensive coordinator who would essentially be the head coach, because you bring in Kingsbury and Matt Eberflus has nothing to do with the offense. If he would have, stepped in with Luke Getsy and said, hey, stop being stupid. Do you see the guy in front of you? Do you see the game in front of you? But he didn't do that. So Matt Eberflus doesn't know squat about offense, except you need a pass rusher to stop it. By the way, Matt Eberflus won 7 games. 4 of the teams he beat, I believe, fired their coaches. So he's really a 3-win coach. That's the way I do the math. Anyways, what would you think if the Bears traded, kept Justin Fields, because they found an offensive coordinator who had run the whole offensive room with the intention being, this is our guy, because this coach said he could coach him into the guy who will be playing in yet another playoff game, this time in Buffalo, with a lot fewer weapons than he's had before, but there he is in the second round of the playoffs. And the Bears haven't seen the playoffs since the double doink, really. So there's no sustained success there. So something to think about with Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, man, I just kept talking. I ran out of time for sock stuff. But here's, our former score hero, Julie Swyka, went, she's a passionate and unfortunate White Sox fan. And she was on the tweeter machine. I don't care if they build the Taj Mahal of Stadia in the most spectacular location on earth. They didn't make any significant moves in the offseason, and they're still managed by the underqualified Pedro Grifol. For the Sox to draw, they need to field a competitive team, period. So she's calling BS on the idea. This is what has not really been, if there's any Sox money going into this, why isn't it going into your roster? Why isn't it going into your pitching staff? Why do you have to suck? You suck because you were too lazy to interview somebody competent and you hired Chris Getz. You have a horrible baseball system and you just empowered the guy who was responsible for that horrible baseball system. And now you're trying to become the diet version of the Kansas City Royals. You start talking about a new stadium. And Julie, this is the subtext. This is the main text. You start talking about a new stadium. And it doesn't matter how many bells and whistles you have, if you have an ill-equipped manager, an ill-equipped general manager, and a roster that will play for the number one draft choice. I try to suck so you don't have to, but good Lord, the chairman's team. Oh, and one more thing about, I'm calling BS on the idea, well, you get a new stadium, they got new revenue streams, and entertainment district. First thing about BS, no, they always lie. Politicians, developers always lie about the money coming in. Second thing is this. Don't you dare think the White Sox are going to suddenly have a wheelbarrows of cash from this. Because guess what? They opened a new stadium in 1991. And several years later, there was a free agent pitcher available. And his name was Greg Maddux. And he was coming off a Cy Young season. The White Sox refused to get into the bidding for a guy in his mid-20s coming off a Cy Young season. Certainly familiar with Chicago. Well, here, no. Ron Shuler was, I don't know if he was lying, but he said, he told Brian Handley, we were both at the Sun-Times, told Brian Handley, yeah, we're gonna bid. We can go 3 years. Okay. The Yankees were at five already. The Braves were at five. And you're going to go 3 years and underpay him. So, just saw the way you saw the chairman insult his White Sox fans with that crack about we're not going to get in the Ohtani Derby. This has roots 30 years earlier with Greg Maddux, the best pitcher available. So the Sox were only going to go 3 years, which would be 1 year fewer than the number of Cy Youngs Maddux won after leaving the Cubs. Nice job. Don't believe the Sox. Maybe we can make you some money. Brad Evans, Noisy Huevos, from BetMGM, we'll be here to talk to you about betting playoff weekend. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Thank you for tuning in, and a happy birthday, Otter. She used to be Sweet Cheeks. It's her birthday today, but one time we fell asleep holding hands.
Aw, happy birthday.
Otters do that. Otters hold hands so neither float away or they're together. So she's Mrs. Otter, and it's her birthday. Love you. Saturday Suckage. That didn't sound much like suckage, did it? All right, I'll get back to that. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I just saw this, Robbie Triano, my new producer. The aforementioned Julie Swyka, the passionate and unfortunate White Sox fan, texted me, your new producer is a gleek. I love it.
Okay, just thought I'd pass it along.
I'm going to get famous here.
There you go. Welcome and welcome back. Saturday Suckage, I'm Steve Rosenblum. We will be here till 2 o'clock. And today is the divisional weekend. I've often thought this was, of all the football weekends, this is the best thing going. I don't know if it's the best thing for betting, but I do think it's the best football watching weekend. But somebody who does all this betting stuff is going to tell us this, that, and the other thing. He's Brad Evans on the Twitter machine at Noisy Huevos, just like you think. He's executive producer and co-host of Live on the Line, powered by BetMGM. Thanks for spending time on what figures to be a busy betting weekend, Brad. Thanks for joining the show.
Hola, amigo. Yes, exciting action on the gridiron, and I'm sweating out bets already in college basketball. It's the best.
Okay, so as far as football goes, where does this, you can separate it as a fan, as an and as an investor, where does this weekend rank for you?
It's up there. It's got to be, for me, the paramount weekend for betting is the opening round of the NCAA tournament. So, you know, the first and second round, that Thursday through Sunday, there's something that matches it. It is unrivaled, in my opinion. The Super Bowl's up there as well, but I actually like the divisional round more than just one game to choose, you know, various props and sides and totals and action on. So, yeah, I think this is number two behind March Madness. It is scintillating, it's sensational, and it's just so damn alluring with all the various wagers available right now at BetMGM and all the various sports books out there in these United States of America.
He's Brad Evans, executive producer and co-host of Live on the Line, powered by BetMGM, joining me on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. So I guess I'll go in order. The game, first game, Texans, Ravens, everybody tends to be a different number, but Baltimore minus 9.5, 43.5 total, and Houston plus 350 on the money line. Is there something you put into, because losing, teams with a bye in like the last, 10, 15 years, whatever it is, they've lost 10 more games than they've won. I don't know how that factors into the way you parcel out your money, but what do you like about this game or not like about this game?
Yeah, I take everything on a matchup-by-matchup basis. Analyzing this number on the brass tacks, I think Baltimore, bar none, is a better team. And I think the week off, getting somewhat healthy, although Marlon Humphrey, their outstanding DB in that secondary, is not going to be available in this game. And Mark Andrews had a window opportunity to return, but he is not going to suit up for this contest. You're going to get Isaiah Likely again. I don't think it really matters. For the most part, Baltimore is healthy. They're firing all cylinders right now, offensively, defensively. Houston is a feel-good story. They've been tremendous. They've greatly exceeded all of our expectations this year. But today, the large slice of humble pie is going to be served because the Ravens have been a consistent top-10 team according to the EPA data that is out there, whether you're looking at per-play offense, per-play defense, and Lamar Jackson is going to have a lot of action with the legs and especially with the arm as well. He is a true blue MVP for a reason. He shows up. He shows out. C.J. Stroud's numbers and outdoor venues farly suspect, compared to what he did indoors this year, evidenced by the YPA data, 8.8 inside the creature comforts and 6.9 outside of it with a much lower overall passer rating. So, again, I think Baltimore is going to come out in convincing fashion. I'm chalky white, maybe because it's only 3 degrees outside right now in downstate Illinois, but I will lay the 9.5 with the Ravens.
Chalky White was also Omar in The Wire. He played in two of the greatest series ever. So you come at the king, you best not miss. So is there a prop bet in that game, given the way you loved Lamar and the way you're not so high on C.J. Stroud? I don't know. I see his yards could go way over because if that defense is that they're going to be throwing the ball a lot, there's a chance for a backdoor cover on that kind of prop. What do you have a prop you really like in that game?
I do, actually. It's Lamar Jackson had the most rush yards of anybody in the game. And right now at BetMGM, you can acquire that at plus 190. So, yeah, let's get seduced by that juice. And the reason why I really like that bet, Steve, it's pretty simple. Houston was one of the most pass rush aggressive teams in the NFL regular season. They were number 5 in pocket pressure rate, so they can really dial up the heat. And that's great for a multidimensional passer like Lamar Jackson because it leads to opportunistic runs, and now he's going to have some design scrambles as well. And on top of that, in 4 postseason appearances, Lamar Jackson is averaging 91.8 rush yards per game. And that's not an exaggeration. That's a real number, 91.8 rush yards per game. So give the assertive defense, given the action in his legs. And I also think given the ruggedness of the opposing defense, in terms of defending the ground game for the running back position, that's a specialty of Houston. Or on the Baltimore side of things, that applying that logic and trying to bottle up Devin Singletary may lead to Lamar Jackson on roughly 9 to 11 rush attempts to lead the game at rush yards at plus 190. So loving that wager right now in the prop market.
This might be the worst playoff day if you're a Bears fan, if you're a critical Bears fan, if you're Ryan Poles, because you have C.J. Stroud, whom you gagged on, by trading the first pick last year, you evaluated quarterbacks badly. And then in the second game, Packers, 49ers. So there's Jordan Love in your division looking every bit like some kind of hybrid of Favre and Rodgers. And it may just be early, but guess what? Justin Fields hasn't shown that kind of earliness, and he had better weapons. So Packers, Niners, Niners at home minus 10. 50.5 is the total, and Green Bay on the money line is plus 360. Dope it out for me.
Yeah, look, Chicago Bears fans, I'm one of them. We're all rooting for the San Francisco 49ers to just annihilate the competition today, and I think that is going to happen. Again, I'm chalky white for a reason, and I think the chalk is going to prevail in this game. I mean, you got so many weapons that Green Bay is going to have to account for, and you know, I want to take anything away from the Packers. They were utterly unstoppable last week against Little D, but you look at some of the DVOA data, the EPA data, we all saw that coming. If you were numbers nerd like yours truly with the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, I wasn't really shocked that Green Bay, you know, went out there and just blew the doors off them, but they're not going to be able to do that against San Francisco, who, like Baltimore, they've been consistency kings in the EPA data category, offensively and defensively, inside the top 10 over the entirety of the NFL regular season. And when you have Brock, ain't he so pretty, spinning the ball down the field to George Kittle, who I think is going to have a monster game. I love him in the anytime touchdown market at plus 150 right now at BetMGM. The CMC football factory and Christian McCaffrey getting it done on the ground or through the air. You know, anytime touchdown market to him, there's no value there. But if you want to work it into a multi-league SGP, it is highly recommended. You know, or Brandon Ayuk, the Yak King, he was doing at Arizona State. They just keep throwing bodies at you. And defensively, they're outstanding. Jordan Love is really morphing into the next surefire franchise quarterback for years to come for this Green Bay team. And I like the weapons he has at his disposal. But again, that humble pie serving is also going to be placed on a plate and given to the Green Bay Packers today. You're welcome, Bears fans.
So you like chalky white. You like teams coming off a bye when they're 40% to win over the history tells you recently.
So I do. And again, you just got to take it on a case by case basis. The two, you know, best teams I feel this entire NFL season have been Baltimore and San Francisco. And it really applies since week 10. Looking at the advanced numbers, analytics and metrics that are out there, or just with a plain old eye test. I mean, these two teams are the squads to beat in the respective conference races to represent there in Las Vegas. And yes, I do have a ticket on that matchup transpiring. I logged it a couple of months ago at plus 800. So hopefully it's going to ride, and I'm partying in Vegas.
There you go. He's Brad Evans. He's executive producer and co-host of Live on the Line, powered by BetMGM. We're talking about the investing this weekend in the divisional series right here on The Score. Sunday's games, Buccaneers at Lions, Detroit minus 6 at home. And the total 49.5,
Tampa Bay's plus 240 with the mercurial, wonderful, and damn good commercial-making Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, also Baker, the touchdown maker here of late, right? A guy really spinning the football accurately and aggressively with a lot of success. You know, if you're just going to play the standard line, actually, the one dog I do like is Tampa. I took him at plus 6.5. I know that number is down in many books at plus 6, but I don't think Detroit's going to win this thing by more than 3 to 4 points. Could be on a late field goal, and they survive, advance, and march on. I do like the Lions on the money line, obviously, if you're going to work that in with the same game parlay, and I do like the over as well. I think this number is going to be in the mid to upper 50s here in the end. It could be the highest scoring game of the entire weekend. But my favorite prop, former Bear, my guy, Mandatory Montgomery, David Montgomery. I'm going to go with an anytime touchdown for him and the Lions simply to win on the money line. You put those hands together, you get a plus 125 right now at BetMGM. Montgomery scored a touchdown in his last 10 games in NFL regular season, even though he missed a couple of games due to injury. He was number 5 in red zone touches among running backs, and 13 of those came at the goal line. He had a TD last week, and I know Tampa with Vita Vea, they've only allowed 7 total touchdowns running back position the entire season, but ball the belly, that is a propensity and the lean the Lions usually have when they are anywhere near the goal line. So I think a Mandatory Montgomery splashes for 6 and Detroit survives in advance.
As long as Jared Goff is not in cold weather, he seems to be capable of being an NFL quarterback who could do some outstanding things. Is there a Jason Goff, oh my God. Is there a Jared Goff? Hi, Jason. Is there a... Hey, Robbie, you aspire to that. Jason Goff used to produce the Saturday show.
I'm going to be the quarterback.
Yeah. All right, is Jared Goff... is there a prop you really like that plays to the advantage of him not being cold and being at home, being anything other than at Soldier Field?
Yeah, not being golfful, right?
Golfful. Really, there you go.
He was known as that guy for time there in L.A., and obviously a guy that is really right at the ship, but he's had a brilliant season. I do like the over 1.5 passing touchdowns for Jared Goff. It's a little very high juice, heavy investment needed, minus 150 at BetMGM. Again, I would encourage a leg in a same-game parlay. You don't have to go full Calvin Ridley. You don't need 7 legs in your parlay to cash. A couple legs, get it down, reduce the juice, get seduced by that juice. You know, play to plus 100, plus 105, and try to build the bankroll. But you look at Goff in the touchdowns market. Yeah, he's only at the over on 1.5 passing TDs once in his last 4 games, but he did 9 times 9 to go Ferris Bueller on you on the entire season. And a guy at home with a 107.9 passer rating over the entirety of the year, number 4 in red zone attempts, number 13 respectable number in red zone completion percentage, and his shortcoming at Tampa has been on the back end defensively. It's been sorrowful at times in that secondary, and they have allowed 7 signal callers to throw for at least a couple of touchdowns against them. I think Goff is only going to add his name to that list.
Last game of the weekend, the prime game, Chiefs at Bills. Buffalo's minus 3, 45.5 is the total, and Kansas City's plus 130 on the money line. Go.
I like the Bills. I really do. I think the 500-pound gorilla finally is lifted off the shoulders, and they get that key victory against the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, these games have been magical. They have been compelling watches, to say the least, over the years. But they finally get the best of them there at the stadium there in Orchard Park. And I like Josh Allen anytime touchdown, and I'm going to parlay that with the Bills on the money line. Josh Allen has been a scoring machine on the ground. He's done that in 13 of his last 16 games, including the last matchup against Kansas City, the regular season of week 14. He had 10 carries, 32 yards, and a rushing TD in that contest. I think he could replicate that effort. And because Kansas City has had their struggles, to say the least, defending the run over the second half of the season, and they have bogged down way too often as well inside the red zone. So this isn't the same team remotely that we saw last year. Hoist the hardware at the end. I think Buffalo bounces them. So Allen, anytime touchdown, Buffalo money line. Put those hands together. Plus 175. Get seduced by that juice again.
All right, one last question, Brad Evans, before I let you go.
Yeah.
There's going to be at least one upset. There might be more than that. What's the best value on the board betting the money line for an underdog?
I think it's Tampa, honestly. You know, north of some books had a north of 2-1 odds earlier in the week. And, you know, that's a team that if they are firing on all cylinders with the weapons they have at their disposal offensively, my cousin, Mike Evans, Rashad White being a duelist as a receiver and a rusher, Chris Godwin, Kate Otten really stood up and stood out last week. You know, I think that is his team. If they even play average defense, can hang with the Lions and maybe squeak one out, and the fans will not be crying tears of joy in Detroit like last week. They're going to be quite upset at the end of that game.
All right, Brad, I really appreciate you joining me. I hope you get a cup of coffee and get a little energy going before before the big day here, the big weekend here. Thanks for your time, Brad. Appreciate it.
Muchas gracias, amigo. I am running right now to Costco to get coffee.
There you go. He's Brad Evans, executive producer and co-host of Live on the Line, powered by BetMGM on Stadium. Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Famer. I didn't know there was such a thing. But then again, I didn't know Robbie was in show choir. I didn't know that was such a thing. We're taking a break when we come back. So if you're covering the Bears, you're watching the Bears, you're an observer of the Bears, and you see what Jordan Love did, and then worse, you see what C.J. Stroud did, what should you think about what Ryan Poles did and didn't do and what he might do? We're going to ask Mark Potash that. From the Sun-Times, he covers the Bears. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Did you feel you misevaluated Stroud, and did that teach you anything about the evaluation process that he was so good this year with a team that's very similar to the one you have?
Yeah, no, I don't think so at all. I think you have to take in what's best for your team. So when you look at that situation and how it ended up playing out, to have DJ, to have Darnell, to have Stevenson, to have the first overall and the second next year, I feel like that's the best for our organization.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. In Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Top of the hour. You know what? Nobody around here has any clue that Tuesday, Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame voting will be announced. It's just not, we're too starstruck by the Sox trying to bilk taxpayers again. And the Bears having the number one pick and having quarterbacks here and offensive coordinators there and this and that. So at the top of the hour, I will reconnect with an old friend, Mark Gonzalez, who used to cover baseball. He doesn't. Used to have a Hall of Fame ballot. He turned it back. You'll hear his reasons why. But for now, we are going to go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois and talk to Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. He covers the Bears. And he was writing quite sort of deftly, I'm not convinced, but he was trying to make a case for, yeah, the Bears suck developing quarterbacks, but they don't suck as much as other teams that have had to develop quarterbacks. Maybe the right guy shows up and it's magic. Do I have that right, Mark?
Well, yeah, kind of. I don't know about magic. I think magic probably might be what it will take. But the point is the Bears are in better shape than, you know, I guess the argument is that number one quarterbacks aren't a certainty or even have a great track record of success. But so very often they go to the worst team in the league. And you can say what you want about the Bears, but they are not the worst team in the league. You know, they're actually much better than most teams that have the number one overall pick. So they have more in support of whoever is a quarterback, if it's Caleb Williams, even if it's Justin Fields again. So I think the point is that they're in a little bit better shape, especially the way they finished last year. Their arrow's pointing up no matter what you want to say about it, no matter how much you want to crap on the Bears, and believe me, I've done my share. This is as good as the Bears have been in a non-playoff year at the end of the year, looking ahead to the next year, than they've been in a while. So I think there's hope in that. But with the normal skepticism, that they usually get it wrong. So, I mean, that's, to me, that's the way you have to look at it.
Mark Potash is my guest. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. Talking Bears football here on The Score. So last weekend, and then today itself, today is like the Bears' misery. First, there's C.J. Stroud, not a quarterback the Bears drafted, leading the Texans into the second round. And then there's Jordan Love, leading the dreaded evil Packers into the second round. And how come our guy doesn't look like that guy?
Do you see a scenario where Justin Fields comes back and becomes C.J. Stroud, becomes Jordan Love?
I see a scenario where, yeah, he becomes as successful. I mean, not quite the quarterback there, but I think, Fields is not is better than Mitch Trubisky. I mean, if you give him enough of a bubble of support, he will be successful. He can take you deep into the playoffs. I think he can be an MVP if in the right situation. The problem is that a guy like him, he needs such a bubble of support that it's really got to be a really exact situation. But I guess the overall point is, yeah, if they stick with him, I don't know if I would do that, but if they stick with him, they will be more successful next year than they were this year, just based on using the number one pick to get a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. and other support. And I just think, yeah, I think they will be better. I think the Bears will be better no matter which quarterback they go with. The only there's still risk there because if the quarterback you discard is great, like, you know, Mahomes like or Stroud, you're still going to not look very good. You can still lose, I guess.
Yeah, sure. That would be the expectation given the franchise we're talking about. That would be given the expectation. So most of the early names we heard about offensive coordinator were from the McVay, Shanahan, not Luke Getsy anymore tree. And then came Cliff Kingsbury. Altogether different. Air raid guy, and there's some misconceptions about how much he would run the ball, but he had shown he would run the ball because he knows that makes quarterbacks better. And the proximity to Caleb Williams makes us think, well, this is a guy you're going to bilk all the information out of him you can. You're going to drain him. Is he a legitimate candidate? What about the possibility that because he coached Patrick Mahomes in college, if they say, what if we keep Justin Fields? Could you coach him to be close to that guy, and then we could turn the number one pick into all the things we need to help make him that guy? Could you see the Kingsbury thing going that way?
Well, I think it could. I'm not sure if that works out, but I think what the Bears are trying to do, I think what they're hoping to do is have both options. In other words, not hire an OC who is just tethered totally to one guy or the other. I think they would like somebody, I'm sure they would, who can at least give them an option, because they're going to have to go deep into this process to find out if Caleb Williams is truly the guy. There's enough concern about him that you've got to be able to look him in the eye and talk to him one-on-one and find out what he's all about. And so they can't commit. I don't think they can get an OC that will commit one way or the other. I mean, they could, but I'm not sure if that would be the prudent approach. But I guess to answer your question, I'm not sure. I'm dubious of the whole Cliff Kingsbury thing. It would surprise me if they went that direction. I really think that the McVay Shanahan thing is a good. I think it's a good way to go. But again, not to get too far off track, as you well know, Steve, there's a big difference between any of these guys going to like the 49ers and to the Bears, because almost every coordinator who comes here is rarely, if ever, and maybe never the best version of himself. So what you see is not necessarily what you will get when he comes to Hall's Hall.
Why is that?
I have no idea. That's just the history. I'm just going by the history of it. So it's just uncanny how guys come in with all sorts of great testimonials and great background, and yet it doesn't work out. So I don't know why that is. And it doesn't mean it can't change with this regime. Everyone is different. But the history is that, I guess what I'm saying is, don't look at these guys and think, wow, that's going to be the answer. That's perfect. Because every time it seems like it's perfect, it rarely is. So I'm not sure who the best guy is, but at least I like the approach of going with someone who's directly connected to people who are as successful as McVay and Shanahan have been. I think that's a great approach for a team like the Bears, because their own intuition, frankly, on guys like on coordinators and coaches and stuff they get historically has not been good. So they're better off going this route.
When you mentioned looking Williams in the eye or any quarterback they might draft, and there are concerns about him, what would be the top two or three concerns you have heard that you believe?
Well, just that he's into himself. I mean, Matt, you could think that's a good thing. He's a guy who has been, has some questionable approaches to the game and stuff like that. So there's just things you need to know about a guy like Caleb Williams, and I think you're going to hear a lot. I think I will say this. I think he will answer those in the positive. I would predict that he will answer all everyone's questions to their satisfaction. I think he's a sharp enough guy, and I think he's well managed enough to know how to handle the interview process. So I think he'll be good, but you still have to find out and make sure that this is the guy you want leading your team. In a lot of ways, a lot of the things that some people think are negative about him are also good. He's into himself. He wants to be the guy who makes the difference. And I think that's good. I think it was a little disconcerting, frankly, when Justin Fields said, "Hey, it's not all about me. I don't want to be that guy," or at least implied that it wasn't all on him. And I think you want a guy who thinks, "Hey, this is on me. I want to put this team on my shoulders." And you could argue that Caleb Williams, in his own ego, is that kind of guy. And so I think it could end up being the interview process could end up being a much more positive thing than even if you go in thinking, hey, you might have some doubts, but I think he's going to answer a lot of questions in the positive.
It's not arrogance if you can back it up. And if you're Justin Fields, he was right. He wasn't that guy in the fourth quarter. He sucks in the fourth quarter.
And it's okay to be about your brand. And, there's a fine line between being about your brand and about, being more than just a quarterback and being more than just an athlete. But those things can also go haywire. I mean, the Bears don't have a track record that you could say, well, gee, they'll manage this well. So I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, so it's a difficult thing. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do, to discern, I guess. And a lot of things are like, even things I'm saying are like a lot on reputation and maybe misreading things. And you just don't. That's why it's on the Bears to go in there and find out what is the real deal. And what do they know that they have access to things to find out things that we don't, that I don't. And so I think they have to do their due diligence and figure that out. But what I'm saying is they won't really have those answers until April. And that's why I think Poles said that this process, unlike the other one when he traded in March, this process will go into April. And that just makes, that's a good way to go. But I think it also kind of complicates the offensive coordinator choice, because it would be a little bit different process if you knew for sure which guy you wanted.
Mark, I appreciate it. Thanks for taking your time today. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. We'll take a break. Hall of Fame voter gave back his Hall of Fame ballot. Mark Gonzalez will tell you why. Next, after this, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Backfield, do you feel you misevaluated Stroud, and did that teach you anything about the evaluation process that he was so good this year with a team that's very similar to the one you have?
Yeah, no, I don't think so at all. I think you have to take him what's best for your team. So when you look at that situation and how it ended up playing out, to have DJ, to have Darnell, to have Stevenson, to have the first overall and the second next year, I feel like that's the best for our organization.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. In Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Top of the hour. You know what? Nobody around here has any clue that Tuesday Hall of Fame, baseball Hall of Fame voting will be announced. It's just not, we're too starstruck by the Sox trying to bilk taxpayers again. And the Bears having the number one pick and having quarterbacks here and offensive coordinators there and this and that. So at the top of the hour, I will reconnect with an old friend, Mark Gonzalez, who used to cover baseball. He doesn't. Used to have a Hall of Fame ballot. He turned it back. You'll hear his reasons why. But for now, we are going to go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois and talk to Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. He covers the Bears, and he was writing quite sort of deftly. I'm not convinced, but he was trying to make a case for, yeah, the Bears suck developing quarterbacks, but they don't suck as much as other teams that have had to develop quarterbacks. Maybe the right guy shows up and it's magic. Do I have that right, Mark?
Well, kind of. I don't know about magic. I think magic probably might be what it will take. But the point is, the Bears are in better shape than, you know, I guess the argument is that number one quarterbacks aren't a certainty or even have a great track record of success. But very often they go to the worst team in the league. And you can say what you want about the Bears, but they are not the worst team in the league. They're actually much better than most teams that have the number one overall pick. So they have more in support of whoever is a quarterback, if it's Caleb Williams, even if it's Justin Fields again. So I think the point is that they're in a little bit better shape, especially the way they finished last year. Their arrow's pointing up no matter what you want to say about it. No matter how much you want to crap on the Bears, and believe me, I've done my share, this is as good as the Bears have been in a non-playoff year at the end of the year, looking ahead to the next year, than they've been in a while. So I think there's hope in that. But with the normal skepticism, that they usually get it wrong. So, I mean, that's the way you have to look at it.
Mark Potash is my guest. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times, talking Bears football here on The Score. So last weekend, and then today is like the Bears' misery. First, there's C.J. Stroud, not a quarterback the Bears drafted, leading the Texans into the second round. And then there's Jordan Love, leading the dreaded evil Packers into the second round. And how come our guy doesn't look like that guy? Do you see a scenario where Justin Fields comes back and becomes C.J. Stroud, becomes Jordan Love?
I see a scenario where, yeah, he becomes as successful. I mean, not quite the quarterback there, but Fields is not is better than Mitch Trubisky. I mean, if you give him enough of a bubble of support, he will be successful. He can take you deep into the playoffs. I think he can be an MVP if in the right situation. The problem is that a guy like him, he needs such a bubble of support that it's really got to be a really exact situation. But I guess the overall point is, yeah, if they stick with him, I don't know if I would do that, but if they stick with him, they will be more successful next year than they were this year, just based on using the number one pick to get a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. and other support. I just think, yeah, I think they will be better. I think the Bears will be better no matter which quarterback they go with. There's still risk there because if the quarterback you discard is great, like, you know, Mahomes, like, or Stroud, you're still going to not look very good. You can still lose, I guess.
Yeah, sure. That would be the expectation, given the franchise we're talking about. Given the expectation. So most of the early names we heard about offensive coordinator were from the McVay, Shanahan, not Luke Getsy anymore tree. And then came Cliff Kingsbury, altogether different, air raid guy, and there's some misconceptions about how much he would run the ball, but he had shown he would run the ball because he knows that makes quarterbacks better. And the proximity to Caleb Williams makes us think, well, this is a guy you're going to bilk all the information out of him you can. You're going to drain him. Is he a legitimate candidate? What about the possibility that because he coached Patrick Mahomes in college, if they say, what if we keep Justin Fields? Could you coach him to be close to that guy, and then we could turn the number one pick into all the things we need to help make him that guy? Could you see the Kingsbury thing going that way?
Well, I think it could.
I'm not sure if that works out, but I think what the Bears are trying to do, I think what they're hoping to do is have both options. In other words, not hire an OC who is just tethered totally to one guy or the other. I think they would like somebody, I'm sure they would, who can at least give them an option, because they're going to have to go deep into this process to find out if Caleb Williams is truly the guy. There's enough concern about him that you've got to be able to look him in the eye and talk to him one-on-one and find out what he's all about. And so they can't commit. I don't think they can get an OC that will commit one way or the other. I mean, they could, but I'm not sure if that would be the prudent approach. But I guess to answer your question, I'm not sure. I'm dubious of the whole Cliff Kingsbury thing. It would surprise me if they went that direction. I really think that the McVay-Shanahan thing is a good – I think it's a good way to go. But again, not to get too far off track, as you well know, Steve, there's a big difference between any of these guys going to, like, the 49ers and to the Bears, because almost every coordinator who comes here is rarely, if ever, and maybe never the best version of himself. So what you see is not necessarily what you will get when he comes to Hall's Hall.
Why is that?
I have no idea. That's just the history. I'm just going by the history of it. So it's just uncanny how guys come in with all sorts of great testimonials and great background, and yet it doesn't work out. So I don't know why that is, and it doesn't mean it can't change with this regime. Everyone is different, but the history is that. I guess what I'm saying is, don't look at these guys and think, wow, that's going to be the answer. That's perfect. That's because every time it seems like it's perfect, it rarely is. So I'm not sure who the best guy is, but at least I like the approach of going with someone who's directly connected to someone to people who are as successful as McVay and Shanahan have been. I think that's a great approach for a team like the Bears, because their own intuition, frankly, on guys like on coordinators and coaches and stuff they get historically has not been good, so they're better off going this route.
When you mentioned looking Williams in the eye or any quarterback they might draft, and there are concerns about him, what would it be the top two or three concerns you have heard that you believe?
Well, just that he's into himself. I mean, Matt, you could think that's a good thing. He's a guy who has been, has some questionable approaches to the game and stuff like that. So there's just things you need to know about a guy like Caleb Williams, and I think you're going to hear a lot. I think I will say this: I think he will answer those in the positive. I would predict that he will answer all everyone's questions to their satisfaction. I think he's a sharp enough guy, and I think he's well-managed enough to know how to handle the interview process. So I think he'll be good, but you still have to find out and make sure that this is the guy you want leading your team. In a lot of ways, a lot of the things that some people think are negative about him are also good. He's into himself. He wants to be the guy who makes the difference, and I think that's good. I think it was a little disconcerting, frankly, when Justin Fields said, "Hey, it's not all about me. I don't want to be that guy," or at least implied that it wasn't all on him. And I think you want a guy who thinks, "Hey, this is on me. I want to put this team on my shoulders." And you could argue that Caleb Williams, in his own ego, is that kind of guy. And so I think it could end up being the interview process could end up being a much more positive thing than even if you go in thinking, hey, you might have some doubts, but I think he's going to answer a lot of questions in the positive.
It's not arrogance if you can back it up, and if you're Justin Fields, he was right. He wasn't that guy in the fourth quarter. He sucks in the fourth quarter.
And it's okay to be about your brand, and there's a fine line between being about your brand and about being more than just a quarterback and being more than just an athlete. But those things can also go haywire. I mean, the Bears don't have a track record that you could say, well, gee, they'll manage this well. So that's just a fact. I mean, so it's a difficult thing. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do, to discern, I guess. And a lot of things are like, even things I'm saying are like a lot on reputation and maybe misreading things. And you just don't. That's why it's on the Bears to go in there and find out what is the real deal. And what do they know that they have access to things to find out things that we don't, that I don't. And so I think they have to do their due diligence and figure that out. But what I'm saying is they won't really have those answers until April. And that's why I think Poll said that this process, unlike the other one when he traded in March, this process will go into April. And that just makes, you know, that's a good way to go. But I think it also kind of complicates the offensive coordinator choice, because it would be a little bit different process if you knew for sure which guy you wanted.
Mark, I appreciate it. Thanks for taking your time today. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. We'll take a break. Hall of Fame voter gave back his Hall of Fame ballot. Mark Gonzalez will tell you why. Next, after this, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.